This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think I'm set up to go. Let me see. Yeah, we're good. We're good. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to try this new little format. This doesn't look bad. I can work with this. And it will be cool on the TikTok with the people.
With the youngs.
With the youngs. We're trying to stay young. Marcos, now, folks, just talking about social media. And I was on a call yesterday, folks. And first of all, good day. Happy Thursday. This is the first Thursday Coast of 2024.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year to everyone, and Happy New Year, Happy King Day week, and all the good things. I was talking to someone today, he's a little younger than me, he's probably significantly younger, and they talked about how they looked up to me as an elder.
Oh.
And I took the compliment, but I had to explain to them that in the movement, I'm not actually an elder yet, and that there are elders in the movement who would be offended if I was given premature elder status.
Too much of a young upstart.
Just chronologically, you got to be a certain age, accomplishment, and wisdom. I'm not that peer. So I'm literally in the sandwich. I was explaining, I'm literally in the sandwich generation. I'm with the young people. I'm still there, but I'm not quite an elder yet. We'll get
there. You know what? I've been doing some work with a coach, healer, therapist type, and a lot of changes in my life. And one of the things that we've been discussing is that now I'm on the other side of 50. So this new phase is, what do I want to be moving forward? And really, honestly, what I've landed on is I like the notion of being an elder statesman. Like, I don't have the energy that young activists have. I had that once, and too many responsibilities, like kids, and I'm just a little tired. But I have all this knowledge and all these things I've learned and all this wisdom I've gotten, I wish I had 20 years ago. And so I like the idea of being in a place where I can impart some of that wisdom to that younger generation. And that means elder statesman status. And when I was thinking, like, what is the ideal person? What do I want to really aspire to? It really came down to Jimmy Carter, Mark. Just somebody who has so much wisdom and gets command so much respect and is so helpful and selfless and right, committed to a life of service, right, but isn't running stuff anymore. He's not in the middle of the fight. And so it appeals to me, and I'm not quite Jimmy Carter yet. You know, I'm only 52. I've got some years of fight left in me, but as I transition to this new phase of my life, like, I think that's where I want to end up in by the time I'm around 60. So in about 5 to 10 years, I'd like to be there.
I like that.
Elder statesman's great. I think it's a little more chill, but you're still part of the fight.
No, and that's what I found, is that I can move between the youth and the elders, and mm-hmm, both kind of depend on me.
And you are very transitional.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's called the sandwich generation. I'm right in there. So I'm literally in between the young people and the Jeremiah Wrights. I'm literally having conversations with that span of transgeneration right there. So that, I'm honored. That's good. That's a good feeling. But man, let me tell you why it's good what you just said. Aspiring to be Jimmy. That's not the only reason to aspire to be Jimmy Carter. We don't know anybody. Nobody can name anybody who's been in hospice for a year and a half. Hospice is usually when it's a wrap. And I have a theory that the life Jimmy Carter chose is what has blessed him with his longevity.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe that's the answer to having adding another 50 years to what you got now. So listen, I've been saying to everybody, we need to be talking about is, what is Jimmy Carter done and what is he doing to have outlived no good Gerald Ford, no good Ronald Reagan, no good H.W. Bush, all the people who maligned him.
Yeah.
As a friend of mine says, in the grave. And God bless him, he lost his wonderful wife. But she lived to be almost 100. No, I think that's all the more reason to want to emulate Jimmy Carter. If I had a chance to talk to him again, I'd say, hey, man, we got to talk. What do you eat? What are you doing with yourself, man? Because you are, when you say somebody's going, when you get the call that a loved one's going to hospice, y'all, what do you? And then you got brain cancer? You had brain cancer?
Yeah.
So, no, we all should try to be Jimmy Carter. And it's deserving after what he went through. He was a good guy. He came in at a bad time, got a bad shake, just had some cards that were dealt with him, and it's turned out to be one of the more principled, probably the most historically principled and consistently principled, an ethical and moral president, command in chief, that this country has ever had.
Mark, the stuff that the Christian Coalition claims that they want to see in people, that was him. If they actually believed what they spoke, if they believed in their Bible and their preachings and their morality, they would have rallied around Jimmy Carter because he personifies everything that is good about the Christian faith. And instead, they rallied around Donald Trump, which is the antithesis of what the Christian faith is supposed to be. So I think that exposes him more than anything else.
And we'd be remiss if we did not say, even in his Christian faith, Jimmy Carter outspokenly resigned from the Southern Baptist Convention. That was a big deal. That wasn't something you did in that time. And even though that was in the past 20, 25 years, that still was controversial for him to do. He still has there are more people up until his illness that attended his weekly Sunday school class than attended a lot of services on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay, so even as a minister, there's admiration and something for me to learn from Jimmy Carter. Yeah, we holding on, and Marco's now still young. We ain't out of the game yet.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
50 is a new 40. Now, Marco's has a little bit more on me. And since Marco's now, we're friends. We talk about all school. We don't mind talking about this stuff with y'all today. The other thing is another secret. The other advantage you have over me, Marcos, in terms of age, is your children's ages. When your children get to be in their 30s, that's when it really hits you. I got 30-something-year-old children. And let me tell you how I learned it. I was on a plane with a guy literally from Kentucky a few months ago. And believe it or not, his name was Mark Thompson. A white guy. Born the same year as me. We both born the same year. We both at the time were 56. I just turned 57 in December. And he said, man, you feel old. I said, no, Mark, I don't feel old. I feel fine. He said, but think about it. When you acknowledge that your children are in their 30s, doesn't that make you feel old? I said, yeah, now that you mention it, I have a 31-year-old daughter. Damn. You know, I just kind of...
My oldest is 20, and that's old enough.
Yeah. So, no, that's the event. That gives you a little grace. That gives you a little grace. So you good, man. That's a good thing. So, man, so much going on. I don't know why I want to start with this, but I'm going to go ahead and start with it. What does Nikki Haley think she's doing? I just don't see any possibility of anything. He's not going to pick her. I don't think she wants to be picked for the running mate.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
I don't know. What is it that she actually... And then, of course, by extension, DeSantis, just a straight clown. I mean, neither of them, on their worst day, has a path to the nomination. I think we have accepted that even if this guy's convicted of everything, he had a total meltdown in the courtroom yesterday at E. Jean Carroll. We'll get into that. But even if he's in handcuffs, the people are going to vote for him in this primary.
Yeah. I think the hope was the Nikki Haley hope was that the scandals would wear him down. And just, it's just not happening. So her path right now, and it's not a good path, and nobody says it's going to happen, but it's the path, is that she somehow pulls off an upset in New Hampshire. There's a very crappy pollster, American Research Group, they're terrible. They have it at 50-50, 40-40, I think is what it was. The more respectable Suffolk University poll has it at Trump 50, Haley 36, and DeSantis 6. Now, DeSantis is, he's not even contesting New Hampshire. There's a chance that Nikki Haley may get up into the low 40s. And then it's maybe a turnout issue. We saw that, quite frankly, Trump's victory in Iowa, to me, is a huge red flag for his campaign. He got 51%. Half of the most committed partisan Republicans, older, white, because it's Iowa, half of them wanted somebody else. I think that's a real problem for Donald Trump. This is the kind of result that knocked LBJ out. He just quit. LBJ said, okay, I'm not going to even try to get reelected. Jimmy Carter had the same problem with Teddy Kennedy. And so when an incumbent, and Donald Trump's an incumbent, he serves as an incumbent. When a incumbent candidate for the Republicans, he's the incumbent. They actually think he's president.
No, you're right. You're right. They do. He's president. Right.
And for him to not be able to get more than a significant, I mean, let's put it this way. Imagine if Joe Biden got 51% in a primary. Just imagine the hysterical media reaction if Joe Biden. Early on when RFK Jr. first got into the race, and there was some really early polling, and it had Biden at 75% and RFK at 12%, the media was like, oh, Joe Biden's in trouble, in the punditry. And he was in the 70s. Now you get in an actual election, Donald Trump can barely get half. And it looks like New Hampshire's going to be the same thing. If the polling's correct, he's going to be about half of the electorate. So there's a place where Nikki Haley does maybe potentially, either she's at 48%, but it's holy crap. Like people really, even Republicans don't like Donald Trump. Or she actually wins and things are shuffled. Now here's the problem though, is that then Nikki Haley has to go to South Carolina. And yeah, she was governor twice. But South Carolina is very Trumpy. Those are white, redneck, Trump type voters, that the Republican partisan, the Republican primary electorate is very Trumpy. And then beyond that, it gets really tough to see how Haley can actually build the organization, raise the money to be able to compete with Trump and his universal name ID. And quite frankly, she's a woman and she's brown. And even that presents challenges, as we've seen with her inability to answer the question about slavery or talk about America was never a racist country. She can't have those conversations, honestly, and hope to have any chance. So she's in a tough place. Now, it's in our interest that she dragged this out, because Trump's not doing well. Trump seems, he's slower. He makes a lot of mistakes. He's stumbling. He looks stressed. And he already went full out racist with Nikki Haley. So we know that the more she sticks around, the more bizarre he will get. Will that have an effect in a general election? Maybe, because remember, the one swing constituency right now in this country are college educated suburban white people, mostly women. But I think even men are starting to get a little worried. And the crazier Trump acts, I think the more it helps move that constituency over. And there's one last data point. In Iowa, Ann Seltzer was the best pollster in the country. She only pulls Iowa, so it's easier because it's all white. You don't have to deal with it. It's old. So it's an easier state to poll. But she's nailed Iowa. Every election, she nails Iowa. She did it in the primary, in the caucuses as well this time. She found that of Nikki Haley supporters, 50% of them would vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. She got 19% of the vote. That's 8-9%. Let's say the poll was a little optimistic, the margin of error. Let's say it's 5%. 5% of Republicans switch this time around. People who would vote for a Republican in the primary, if they switch and they vote for Joe Biden in November, it's not going to even be close. So there's a lot of warning signs here for Trump. And the media is so fixated on he won by 30 points. No, that wasn't the question. The not Trump vote was 50%, almost 50%. Half of Republicans would rather have somebody else. That's meaningful.
And we don't know that there were any Democrats necessarily that switched over to be in the Republican primary, do we?
No, it wasn't. There was no Democrats switching over.
Yeah.
There was no organized effort to do that. Nobody was trying to make that happen. So I don't think that was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Then that is significant. At least Nikki's not saying what Hillary Clinton said in 2008. Remember when Obama had the delegates and she wouldn't get out of the race?
Yeah.
And then Hillary said, bless her heart, she had a lot of gaffes then. She said, I have to stay in the race because you know what happened to RFK.
Yeah. And that was a really interesting race. I don't know if you remember, Obama won Iowa. He was cruising to win New Hampshire. Had he won New Hampshire, the race would have been over. And then in the debate in New Hampshire, he said that Hillary was likable enough. And it just really turned people off. And so it was a bit of a comedy of errors, yeah, those first few contests. Yeah, and it just, that ended up dragging out the thing longer than it should have. But
I remember when she made the RFK gaffe and I was sitting next to Dick Gregory, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Mark, look at her. She looks like she doesn't even believe she said that. And then she had to, you know, you say something and you realize, oh my God, I can't believe I said that. And then, you know, she had to apologize. But
yeah, that's why I'm never running for office.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say that one of those every single day.
And I was saying to someone else too the other day, to Biden's credit, and people can talk about his age and how unprepared or how old he might be, but when he was younger, he was more gaffe prone, wasn't he? You would have thought by now, I mean, in his younger
days,
that was his brand. That
like
was his brand.
Had a good plan too, yeah.
Mr. Gaffe. Now that he's gotten older, I'm like, well, dude, whatever's going on with his aging process, at least he's not saying crazy things like he would have said back in the day.
He's learned to not. He has to think about everything he says three times before he says it.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he has a process. He must have a process because it was,
And they give him those little cheat sheets too, those little pieces of paper. People knock that, but hell, I wouldn't fight it. Give me some little pieces of paper. I don't mind. I don't. My ego ain't like that. You just keep it focused.
I'd be like, don't tell me what to say. And then I would say crazy shit and I'd be in trouble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, that's great. So that's Nikki Haley. What do you think about Chris Christie dropping out? Do you think there's any credence to the speculation that he actually himself would endorse Joe Biden?
Oh, yeah, maybe. It was clear that he joined the race to basically F over Trump. Like, he wasn't really trying to win. He was trying to, like, kneecap Donald Trump. And so when he dropped out and he endorsed Nikki Haley, again, it served that purpose. So it would follow. I would think there's anybody, Chris Christie may be literally the most unpopular politician in the country. So ain't nobody like him. So I'm not sure what value that would have, but I guess there's a story, nothing else. There's a one-day story about how Republicans are turning on Trump. And we're seeing that. He is not the dominant figure that people continue to insist that he is. And it's just weird to me that the political press has fumbled that story as badly as it has. Because I guarantee you, Joe Biden got 70% in a primary, everybody would be declaring him dead on arrival. And here's Trump with 50.
Yeah, DeSantis, I don't know how much longer does he even... Is he?
Yeah.
I mean, you made a good case for Nikki in terms of her relevance, but DeSantis, what about?
There's nothing. He anytime a politician skips a contest, which is what he's doing with New Hampshire, I don't think it has ever worked out in the history of primary politics. And obviously, the problem that Nikki Haley at least has taken some shots at Trump, she hasn't gone full force against him, but I mean, she's taken her occasional shots. DeSantis still is too afraid to really criticize Trump, to take a stance on everything. And he always sees out there and he looks weak and lost and kind of pathetic. And his brand of fascism is not even resonating with Republicans. It's actually, in a way, it's a little encouraging. But it's sad. And honestly, there's no path for him. There's zero path. He's the most unlikable person in the campaign. I don't think anybody likes him.
And then he's doubling down. The latest news even today is that he's trying to push forward regulations and legislation that would outlaw diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the state. And when I heard that, I'm like, do you think that that's going to help you in the presidential race? Because you're done. What are you doing now?
You're done.
And as soon as someone comes up, either steals a pair of boots or comes up with a definitive boot lift evidence, he is done. All right.
So if Florida Democrats can't bounce back with his very extensive overreach, polls show it's not popular in Florida. So he's not exactly doing the bidding of the people of Florida. If Florida Democrats can't bounce back, if they can't use this to tar Rick Scott and make the Senate race a campaign, they can't put up a solid gubernatorial candidate in 2 years, then it's over. I don't know. Very few governors are out of touch with their status. Ron DeSantis is right now.
A couple of things before we go. What do you think about Trump's behavior in the E. Jean Carroll piece? I think that what the corporate media has to understand, when he's going off in these courtrooms, he knows they're going to cover it. And that keeps him out there. So it's kind of, you got to say that he acted a fool. But to go too much into it, that's why he's doing it. That's what keeps him, in his mind, relevant and on the minds of people. But he's losing it. No regular person could go into a courtroom and confront a judge on the bench in the way he has without being locked up that particular moment
for
contempt. I got locked up for contempt for a month for being late to court.
Yeah, I don't. His cries about being persecuted obviously ring hollow. There's a different system for him. He's being treated with kid gloves. And quite frankly, judges have to do it, right? They have to be as clean as possible to deny Trump's legal team any avenue for appeal. So it is a different standard, and it's a little frustrating. But again, I think it helps rally his base, but his base is 30%. We're seeing this in the primaries. It's not, his rabid base is not anywhere near a majority of the country. And I'm not sure how he thinks his antics are particularly helpful in a general election. And this is where you start. Again, you get conspiratorial, right? Like there's nothing about Trump's campaign that says I'm going to win 50% of the American people. Like nothing. And I don't know, is that a strategy or is that just because Trump is Trump and he's uncontrollable? He's like, you know, I say, don't tell me what to do, what to say. Trump is not even, a moral decision. He is all lizard brain. He's always reactive. So he's throwing his arms up and he's coughing at the judge. And I don't think there's a bone in him that says I'm doing this because I'm going to be in the news. He just can't control himself. This is, I think, an innate, uncontrollable part of him. And so any campaign that works with him, they can't be like, no, this is the polling says, it's not this is not helping. We need to win. College educators for white women. So you need to be more this or you need to be more that. There's just no talking to him. He does whatever the hell he wants, and it's not even a conscious decision. And so it's not helping him in courtrooms. On the legal front, it's not helping him. It's not helping him on the political side. I don't know. Is it rallying his base? His base is already rallied, right? They're like, it's a cult. It's weird to me that he thinks that he needs to be in that courtroom. I think it diminishes him and it hurts him politically and legally to be in those courtrooms when he doesn't have to be. There's nothing about those legal cases that required him to be present. And a judge made that clear to him.
Right.
You don't even have to be here. Yeah, I think it's a problem for me. I would not want to be Donald Trump's campaign or the Republicans moving into this election. This doesn't mean I'm saying Joe Biden's going to coast to victory. Let's not get ahead of it. It means that we have to do the work we have to do. But assuming we all work as hard as I know we will, because it's an existential threat to our democracy, I would rather BS than them.
SCOTUS going to uphold the 14th Amendment?
I hell knows. I don't trust the SCOTUS to do anything. It's probably not. I don't.
It's probably not.
I just assume the worst. I'm just assuming the worst until we can actually win a solid majority, keep our majority in the Senate, get rid of the filibuster, expand the Supreme Court, and then we can, I think, rest easier.
Lastly, we started out talking about our fleeting youth and for ourselves. But you actually, folks, Marcos actually has a headline lately. It was actually before the holidays, but we didn't get to talk about it. Taylor Swift is conservatism's greatest foe.
Oh my God. This is a... You have Taylor Swift, who's probably... It's objectively the biggest music sensation since Elvis Presley. Just record sales and number one hits. And the only two artists that surpass her at this point are Elvis and the Beatles, and she is nipping at the heels of the Beatles. She is a sensation beyond sensation. Her support is mainly centered around young people and particularly young women. And she, in one Instagram story, not a grid, I don't know if you guys know, stories just last for 24 hours. One Instagram story, she got 68,000 of her fans to register to vote. She is a potential major political force, and Republicans have decided to make her public enemy number one. It's the most bizarre situation. When you have somebody that big and that powerful, you ignore. But you're basically, what's happening is every time they attack her, she doesn't have to say nothing. She can keep quiet. She stays above. She's classy. But her fans are keeping track of that, and they're keeping track of all these e-hole conservative men and personalities. You have Tucker Carlson talking about how she is a psychological operation of the Pentagon to corrupt America's youth. It's just nuts, the stuff they're saying. And her fans circulate this stuff. And her fans have made Trevor Kelce's jersey the number one selling NFL jersey. I mean, this is not just because they're dating, right? And her fans are tracking this stuff, and they're getting politically activated. And they're getting politically activated on the side of the Democrats, because that's the opposition. And Republicans, what you're supposed to be doing is suppressing the youth vote. You're supposed to be suppressing key Democratic constituencies, and they are activating it more than anything I can possibly see. And I actually took a look at her tour schedule, and she's got this block of time off around the DNC convention, the Democratic convention. So I do wonder if she is going to speak or perform, or both of them, hopefully, at the Democratic convention. I think for the youth vote, she will be absolutely huge. Yeah, no, and her tour before the weeks before the election is running through Florida. And so it's actually, and not that Florida is particularly a competitive state these days, but I don't know, Ron DeSantis is doing his best to piss people off. And abortion is such a, it's going to be a bigger issue in Florida because of restrictions that he's pushed through. And abortion's going to be a critical issue in this campaign. And if she activates young voters to vote at the same rate as other age groups, that's one of the ways. Remember, here's the quick math, because this is important. Right now, we're about a 52% Democratic country, 48% Republican in elections. What that means is just a little bit of a drop off in Democratic support. Republicans win. 52 to 50, boom, Republicans are there. Move it 3 points. Get the Democratic performance to 55%, and then you're talking a 10-point cushion, 55-45. 10-point cushion, you can bleed some support here or there, and it's okay. You still win. 3 points. That's all we need is to push 3 points. And one of the ways to push that 3 points is to get youth turnout to match the same rate as other age groups. If she can pull that off, and she could pull that off, the math says she could pull that off, she could single-handedly get us to that magical 55-45.
I tell you right now, if she's going to, if you're reading that right, and the conspiracy theory, your conspiracy theory is that she may be at the Democratic convention. Folks, I think that on behalf of Daily Coast and Make It Plain, we can project that Joe Biden has been reelected president. We're going to do it. Y'all remember this day, Thursday, January 18th. If she goes to the Democratic convention, we are projecting on January 18th. Because, let's do some more math here. Let's do some more math. These are young women. And these young women have mothers, many of whom are the suburban college educated, in the suburban college educated white women category. Yeah, it is phenomenally stupid to go after her. Yeah, y'all keep it up. Keep going after Taylor Swift. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Go after Taylor Swift.
Help us. And then we have potentially competitive Senate seats in Florida and in Texas. And that may be the sort of bump we need to get those over the edge and at least make them competitive. And maybe our difficult seats, like in Arizona and where else is difficult this time? Montana, Ohio. Yeah, so we need all the help we can get, and Republicans are doing so much to help us with the youth vote by going after Taylor Swift. It's just, I can't fathom how stupid they are to do this. Just ignore her. But they can't. They're like obsessed. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been to a Taylor Swift concert, but I know, I've heard about how tremendous it is. I did go, as you all know, I went to the Beyonce concert in Louisville.
3 hours long. Yeah, we have that stamina.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but when you go to those kind of things, Marcos, and again, this is back to our age. If you went, you'd be transformed. There's energy and stamina you didn't know you had. Because what they do with these things nowadays, it's such a sensory experience. So when Beyonce called Tamika Mallory and said, "We want you to come to Louisville and bring Breonna Taylor's mom," which was really tremendous of her to do. And your friend with the beard, bring him. She don't even know my name. So I've been saying to people, if Beyonce ever learns my name and calls me by my name, then I'm not doing the show anymore. None of you all ever know me again. Marcos be like, I used to be able to get on Mark's calendar, but I can't anymore. He's gotten so big and unreachable. Since Beyonce has called him by name, he's beyond it. So no, but that's what these celebrities can do. And I think we know what Beyonce is inclined to do. Taylor's one person. She's the powerhouse. But if everybody lines up.
Yeah.
We can get this done.
To get to that 55. There's a lot of ways. Black voter turnout, Latino voter turnout, youth. There are constituencies that don't vote at the levels that they could and could push us that 55%. It's doable. And Trump is such an existential threat that he's going to motivate like nobody else. And his base is literally shrinking. They're still dying of COVID. COVID is still a factor. 1,500 people die a day from COVID. And it's mostly older white people, basically. It's rural older white people, which are predominantly Republican. His base is still dying from COVID, as well as just natural causes. It's just older. And so it's shrinking, and it's clearly not growing. And again, he could only barely get half of the most rabid supporters of his party in Iowa. It looks to be the same thing in New Hampshire. And he is sort of their incumbent. He's not the juggernaut that he is. And he doesn't look well on the campaign trail. And he's losing his mind on all these trials. And he's just disjointed. There's no real message. It's weird. He's just weird at this point.
Yeah.
Creepy, weird guy.
And sweating a lot. And yeah. Then social media, there's stories now about how bad he smells. Have you seen those?
And there's this picture yesterday about he had blood on his hands. Like, he had these blisters. And people are making jokes about leprosy and whatnot. But
leprosy.
It looks like leprosy. I'm like, I wonder what his evangelical supporters would think if he had leprosy. It was very biblical. But probably fell. Like, it looks like he maybe fell and scraped his hand. He's just not. It's
leprosy.
But also, we all have to remember that the battle is bigger than Donald Trump, right? He's just part of it. We need to hold and hopefully expand our lead in the Senate. It's a very difficult map, but the climate is looking more and more like it's doable. We just won a special election legislative seat in Florida in a district that Ron DeSantis won by 8 points.
Wow. That's amazing.
We're still overperforming in all the special elections. And people freak out about the polls that show that the race is close in the battleground state, the presidential. It is close. We're going to have to fight for that. There's no sugarcoating that, but let's fight for those. Let's win the House. Let's expand our lead in the Senate. I think it's possible. And then suddenly we're in a much better, we get rid of the filibuster, we expand the Supreme Court. We're in a much, much, much better place. Joe Manchin's gone. Sinema's gone. So we hold the Senate. Those are the last two pieces holding back the filibuster.
Yeah. Great. This is good news.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, dailycoast.com, be sure to start your new year off right, getting up to speed with Daily Coast, one of our favorite websites. News you can do something about. Marcos is always my friend. Again, welcome to another year of Thursday. We don't even keep up with it. I don't know how many years we've been. I know it's over 10. I have to really go back and try to figure out when we started.
It was before 2010 because we were talking about the midterm elections going to be tough. So.
That's right. And it may have been, it was definitely before 2010. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is at least year 14 or 15.
Wow. Damn. Wow. 14, yeah, 15. Back then we weren't talking about being elder statesmen.
Nope.
We're evolving with the times.
We have grown together, aged together, but you still don't have any gray hair.
I do.
I see a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, there's some gray happening.
Okay.
But it's a nice gray. I like
it. Yeah, it looks good. It looks good on you. It's favorable to you.
No, our gray works for us, both of us.
Okay, cool.
It's a very distinguished, yeah. Otherwise, we look too young.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to die. You know how people overdie?
Yeah.
And it's like, your hair didn't used to be jet black when it wasn't gray. So why is it jet black now? I don't want to do that. So nobody has jet black hair. So yeah. DailyCoast.com. News you can do something about. Thank you, Marcos, as always.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.